This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Scoreboard Show. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor's out of here. Big Sofa's out of here, too.
Big Sofa was hanging out. Big plate of cookies.
Yeah, he didn't even offer any cookies.
It's all right.
No, it's too late now. No. It's okay. It's whatever. Final score tonight, 22-17. The Lions over the Jaguars. Phone lines are open. This will be an interesting night because I think, you know, obviously the offense, everybody's happy with the first team look. Maybe not the run game tonight, but boy, Blake Bortles is where it was at tonight. Defensively, some, room for improvement.
Definitely room for improvement. But, you know, you look at the way this team played last year, JP, okay? This is a team that if they're going to beat you, they kept it close, right? The defense had to play well and give the offense a chance to keep that game close. Here you feel like, all right, let's say if the roles are reversed a little bit this year, okay? You feel like now if you get behind, this team can come back. This team can score points, and you know what? Maybe they can play from ahead a little bit too and help their defense out, put other teams in situations where they've got to throw the ball in the second half. You can get in some more obvious passing situations. They're going to have to do something to create pressure. Gus said in the postgame to the media at large that on the long touchdown to Golden Tate, they tried a different pressure. You know, and these are the things you're going to do in the preseason, right? You're going to try different things, and they just didn't get home. They made a good play. Colvin had pretty decent coverage there, and that's the guy you're going to trust one-on-one outside as much as anybody. So sometimes the other team makes a play. But I feel better about this team simply because now last year you got down 14-0. You know, how are they going to come back and win this ball game?
Right.
Game's over. Now you get down 14-0, and hopefully they won't. You feel like Blake Bortles is going to hang 21. You know, this 15.6 is a thing of the past. I'm very encouraged about this offense. Get Julius Thomas back. If Linder is a short-term deal and he's ready to go week one, even if they don't have Marquise Lee right out of the gates, sounds like everybody else is kind of on track. I'm excited to see what they've got.
You know, at least in this preseason, there have been long, sustained drives, like you talked about, the 10-play-plus drives, the 15-play drive for the first touchdown tonight. Now, when you get some playmakers back on the field, a guy like Julius Thomas, if Marquise Lee can take the top off of defense, that can shorten those drives. And you have an explosive element, you might be able to score some more points. If you're taking 8 minutes of game clock away, you're not going to be getting 35 points a game.
Well, they came out right to start the second half, right? About a 6.5-minute drive, yeah, right out of the gates. And again, chewing up the clock, like you say, really possessing the football. And, you know, it was a good sign to see them get a couple of touchdowns tonight because, once again, you felt like the first team won tonight. You just felt like the eyeball test, the Jags were the better team through that. Now, you keep in mind,
at least the first two drives.
First couple of drives. Certainly. But, you know, when Bortles was running the offense, you felt like the Jags had a decided advantage, Jags offense versus the Lions defense. Now, as we have pointed out with this, our own team that we cover here, you know, guys like Sindarik Marks and Chris Clemons missing time. Well, Haloti Ngata, Ziggy Ansah on the defensive side, Calvin Johnson, Eric Ebron on the offensive side. So this is not a full-strength Detroit team as well. We're not going to take this result. Doesn't matter. I think we're encouraged really by the development of Blake Bortles. That's the main thing here. And again, say it till we're blue in the face, a quarterback playing at that kind of level can make up for a multitude of mistakes elsewhere.
Great night for Bortles. 20 of 29 through the air tonight, 245 and a touchdown, and a couple of nice plays with his legs when he needed to do it as well. Are you ready?
I'm so ready, man. Let's do this. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. If you'd like to get on board, Mike Dempsey, JP Shadrick here with you. Let's go out to Orange Park and talk with Raj and find out what's on his mind tonight. Hi, Raj. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Great.
Hey, Dempsey.
Yeah, what's up?
All right, what you guys doing?
What are we doing?
Oh, yeah, we're just sitting here.
Just hanging out, yeah, talking a little Jaguar football. What are you doing?
Okay, you're not eating burger, right?
You think I'm, what do you say? I'm not drinking Bud Light? Is that what you asked? I'm not sure what he's. No, we're just hanging out. What's up, Raj?
Okay, the thing I wanted to say is about the run game. Do you think it had something to do with the Linder injury?
I don't think particularly, JP, because I think they were struggling to move the get much push in the running game early anyway.
Even with Linder in there, too.
Yeah.
It was just one of those nights. I mean, that's a good front, even with those guys out for Detroit. I mean, those guys can – they're the best
they're
front
number one
defense.
Run defense in the league
Come
last
on now.
Year. Now, again, Ndamukong Suh leaves, but Haloti Ngata is not there tonight, and Ziggy Ansah is not there tonight.
But then again, in that goal line situation – you'd like to have it a little easier.
Holy
I don't even
smokes.
Know if he truly got in. He's in. It's a touchdown.
Honestly,
yeah,
I don't think he got that close.
No,
but
they
never had the good angle on that one.
Right.
You'll take
but
it.
Would you have – if they had another chance at it, would you have run it again?
No.
After being stoned twice?
Well, no, not in that circuit. Maybe to prove a point because it's the preseason. If
yeah.
it were the regular season, I think you mix in a little play action, right. roll out, and use Blake Bortles' athletic ability to get him on the edge to make a play. But – yeah, I didn't think it was because Linder went out that they didn't really get any push when at least when Yeldon was in there early. We saw Denard get in space once or twice, once on a screen play,
pass, right.
and then once on a nice little run kind of up the middle, but not much going on there.
By the way, I'll take Denard Robinson in space all night long.
You know
How
what?
About that?
And that's the thing. We're so focused on when will we get to see T.J. Yeldon in, and will he be the quote-unquote bell cow running back. Denard's got a role on this football team, and when you talk about guys that can take the top off, well, he's not going to be running by everybody trying to catch 50-yard bombs, but he is one of those guys that can go 0 to 60 quick, and they don't have that many of those guys.
Like last week, the route in the end zone, if the ball's thrown a bit better, he probably makes that play. That's the type of play he can make, like tonight with the screen and then run after the catch type of thing.
Absolutely.
That's his game.
Raj, thank you for the call. Let's go to Hank out in Middleburg next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Hank. How are you?
Hey, I'd just like to say wish we drafted Ty Gurley because ain't no running back on the team. Denard's probably going to be the starter. TJ looking weak. Just overall dissatisfied with the run game. And I'm glad I drafted Denard for my fantasy team. All right, have a good one.
All right, I think you won't be actually when you're all said and done, but that's fine. You know?
Okay.
I mean, look, I think Denard's a good player, but T.J. Yeldon's going to be the starting running back on this football team.
You think opening day he will be?
If it's not opening day, it's going to be shortly thereafter. You don't draft a guy where they drafted him with as many needs as his football team had to let him bide his time on the bench. Runners come into the league, you've got a finite amount of carries in your body, they're going to get him on the field early and often.
And as we just talked about, the run game is not just the backs. I mean, that's the offensive
line.
Where
was Todd Gurley going to go tonight? There were no holes tonight. And, you know, I'm not saying that T.J. Yeldon is going to win Rookie of the Year. He's a future Hall of Famer, but I don't think you got a clear picture tonight of what the running game is capable of doing, at least what the running backs are capable of doing.
Part of this for Yeldon too. It's his first time in a game in the NFL too.
Right.
He went to Bama and all that. I don't believe in all that because that's just a totally different animal. Even a preseason thing. Hey, you still got to go get hit a few times to figure things out in this league. He's got that out of the way now at least, and I think that's a small part of tonight's game. The bigger story tonight is the line and just the run game as a whole was just not happening with any running back.
No. And look, Denard could be the opening day starter for this football team. I don't think it's going to last
very
long.
It wouldn't last long.
Right.
I agree with that.
And he's got a role.
And he could start, and three plays later, here comes Yeldon anyway.
Yeah. I think you saw tonight they wanted he was in there on third downs. He truly was a three-down back. And when they had Denard on the field, when he came in for his drive and they got down inside the five, they put Yeldon back in there. Yeldon's the guy that they want to build this running game around. Let's go out to Mike in Mandarin next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Great.
Hey, really quick, I have two quick questions here. Are you guys pretty sold on Bortles? At this point, I think I am very sold on Bortles. I think he'd be fantastic. My main second question here is, what do you think about Walters possibly joining the rotation? I think with Marquise Lee being out and down, the possible injuries in the receiving core, I think he has a personal spot on this team. Just your comments off the air. I appreciate it, guys.
Sure.
I guess I'm sold on Bortles. I don't know. I'm still up in the air.
I don't know if that was a sarcastic question or not, based on – or maybe he just tuned in. Look, the guy – let's not get carried away with ourselves, but I think – for me, you asked Fred Taylor, did he exceed expectations? He exceeded my expectations this preseason. You know, I think I expected him to take a step forward. I think he has looked really good.
Because everything was so new. The updated mechanics, the new offense. Is this going to work in live game action? What's the scheme going to look like? Can he handle, get the ball out quick to his, do his progressions, all that stuff? Guess what? He's looked not perfect, but he's looked very good in all that. And that's all you wanted.
He had some success last preseason, but it was a lot more helter-skelter. Here, he's standing back there. Yeah. He is going through his reads, and his first instinct is not to take off and run when the pressure's there. It's to step up and continue to look downfield, but he is really developing a good sense of when it's time to go. I mean, he knows. Sometimes he breaks containment, and he knows I've still got a play downfield to make with my receivers, and other times he doesn't hesitate, like the one where he saw that left side open, and he picked up about 15 running for that first down. He knew it the second he took off running 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage that he had that. And, you know, he's just right now, let's hope he continues to play this well in 2 weeks from now. As far as Walters goes, again, right now I got him on the team, JP. Yeah. He's been very reliable.
But you got to remember, he hasn't done a lot. I mean, this is a guy that's
– But with the opportunities that he's had, who's done more?
No, you're right.
Among the guys that he's competing with for a spot.
Right. So we still have another week to figure that out. Tony Washington's around still. Doss did not have a great night tonight.
Did not have
Could
a good
be
night.
The end for
and,
Doss
and I don't
here.
Know who else is in the mix with Aurelius Ben hurt now,
yeah,
right?
So it's got to be about it.
Is there a possibility?
Maybe Jenkins, but that's a name. I don't think he's
right.
in that mix.
I agree with you. So, yeah, I think Walters has a role. How big of a role will be determined. Gus was saying again in the postgame, the quarterbacks trust him that he's going to come down with the football. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah. We'll take a timeout. Scoreboard show. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Final score tonight, 22-17. Lions over the Jaguars, but the Jags' offense looking pretty good. The defense with a little work to do. Back in a moment. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. Tickets at $7. That's their starting price. Visit JTAFLA.com for more info. And guess what?
What?
All of those locations will be active the next time the Jaguars play at home, which is opening day, September 13th, against the Carolina Panthers. And Cam Newton and his annoying smile.
1-0, baby.
Yes.
Yes, why not? That's all you can do after one game.
22-17 final tonight. Mike.
People are a lot more excited about touchdowns than they were about field goals. Would you agree with that based on response tonight compared to last week?
I think that's every football fan
in
ever
the world.
In the history of Earth.
Well, then these,
is more excited
these
about
fans
touchdowns.
Tonight are reinforcing that. I think we had two calls on the
Except
scoreboard
kickers.
Show last
kickers
week.
Love field like Scobie loves field goals.
True.
But I'm sure he wants touchdowns too, but guess what?
He's I bet Miss Donald on the north side loved touchdowns tonight. Miss Donald, you're on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing just great tonight. Firstly, I want to just congratulate Blake Bortles for doing such a beautiful job. He's really turning out to be a fine quarterback, and I look for him to make the Pro Bowl this year. Number two, I'm very impressed with Brian Walters. Now, what is our chances on getting him in the offense? Because to me, he's playing more consistent and more better than some of those receivers that we already have. He's really catching everything coming his way. He's looked like he's going to be a rising star in Jacksonville. What is his chances?
He's certainly playing very well, Ms. Donald. We appreciate the call. JP, I think the issue for Brian Walters once the season rolls around, if he is to make this team, is A, this team wants to run a lot of two tight ends, right? So you've got that. Obviously, when Marquise Lee comes back, he's got an explosive element that some of these other guys don't. But let's say he's out for a little bit. You still have Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns up there. Rashad Green, I know they don't want to overtax him if he's the primary punt returner, but I think his speed has been impressive ever yeah. since he's got his legs back as well.
And you talk about catching everything. Rashad Green catches
Rashad
pretty much
Green
everything,
has very
too.
Good hands as well. Right. But what more can Brian Walters do? Tight coverage, loose coverage, getting open, hanging on to the football. He's making plays out there. He's taking advantage of every opportunity.
Yeah,
right
but the, I guess the point is, how many times are they going to have five true wide receivers on the field?
Not many.
If he, he's like we said, he's probably the guy that's the fifth receiver right now, but he might not get playing time in the regular season because of that.
He might not be active on game day, even
right.
if he is on the roster.
Exactly.
But you'd like to have a guy who's showing that he's got the ability to make some plays down
okay.
there because injuries happen and what have you. You know, keep up this kind of play and maybe he'll force himself.
I'm just
a
saying
bit
there's
of a role.
One preseason game left. So The hay is not in the barn yet.
No, I agree with you, but right now he's in the pole position, I think, for a roster spot. Let's get
How about another cliche before we go to the next
one? It was the dress rehearsal this week, if you haven't heard, folks. Week three of the preseason. Let's go to Camden County. John is checking in on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up, I thought one positive and one perhaps negative. The positive, I thought, that is a little bit overlooked with the excitement with Blake, is the field position was great because the defense didn't tackle particularly well, but I think I saw, you know, the average starting position with the starters for the Lions was about their own 13. That really counterbalanced a couple weak plays on the defensive end, and I think for long-term success for those days when maybe the Jags offense isn't clicking, that field position, those special teams will really just help sustain them, you know, as it goes on. And then, you know, certainly as the weather would get worse throughout the year. And then the negative, I thought, I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on Luke Jokel seemed really inconsistent, especially when the big-time TV, they were highlighting, talking about him, zooming in on him, and then he just landed on his butt and rolled into Blake. And I just thought, you know, he's not facing elite competition yet, and he's looking really inconsistent. That could possibly be a limiting factor for Blake's development.
Let's start with this. The analysts tonight, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli, first couple of drives were praising Luke Jokel for how he was playing tonight. And then the clip on TV came. We saw it with the two plays from last year and the one from this preseason with Harrison going around him. And Buscelli said it on the air. Wait a minute, this guy's playing well tonight. I hope they're talking about how well he's playing. Then the third drive came along.
Right.
And there were a couple at least snaps there where Jokel was beat, or the one instance where he was knocked on his backside.
Right. One in particular looked really bad. Right. But, hey, look. I've not been Luke Jokel's biggest supporter. I'm not a detractor in the sense that I'm not trying to tear him down. I hope he does well. He's clearly the best option they have at the position. So it's not like you're going to upgrade by putting somebody else in there right now. Is he perfect? No. But I have been a guy who's been looking for some missteps out of Luke, you know, to make sure that they're not there. And I don't think it's been as bad as I feared it might be, right? I mean, he got beat badly in the first game. I thought he was very solid last week. Had the holding call. You're not going to go through a season without a holding call, and it was a sketchy kind of holding call anyway. And yeah, tonight he had a couple of plays that looked bad. And granted, Ziggy Ansah was not in there. It's something that bears monitoring, right? There's no question about it. But
sure.
It right now, you want another cliche? It is what it is, JP. That's who they've got in there. So, you know.
Don't count your chickens before they
hatch.
Okay,
I won't. Did we cover everything right there from John?
I think so.
I think we got it. Let's go to Saqib. I can't believe we've waited this long to go to the South Side. Hello, Saqib. How are you?
What's up, boys?
What's up?
Hello.
Hey, you know, I love what Blake is doing so far. I can't wait to see more of Rashad Greene because I'm a Florida State fan. I love the guy. But let me ask you guys, are you guys concerned as I am about this defense not getting no sacks? And not tackling tonight, guys are going 41 yards, 20 yards. I mean, to me, I know it's the preseason. Y'all might kill me for saying that, but I think I'm concerned about the defense. They're not doing as well as I thought they were going to do. That's just my personal opinion on the defense.
I think that opinion is shared by many.
Yeah, you're not alone, Saqib.
No, I mean, sure. Nobody's looking at that and saying, wow, what an impressive performance.
Everybody looks at that one, the long 41-yard run where they didn't set the edge on the outside and the kid from South Dakota State goes scampering down the sideline. And he had some other good runs tonight, too. That was the other thing. There were a few plays where he broke through and had some significant gains tonight. That's
the
scary
part.
But
he pushed the pile.
Yeah.
And not only that, he showed good speed. He was a nice player, but this is an undrafted free agent, okay? He played at a lower level and – Gus also pointed out, Gus Bradley, in the post-game comments that he felt like these guys, the Jags defenders, were going for the ball tonight. I think there's probably some of that internal pressure. Let's create some turnovers,
right? Let's get some turnovers.
Right?
That was a point all week.
And how many, you know, after a couple of those runs, we're sitting here saying, somebody wrap this guy
up. Tackle the guy.
You know, hit him low. Everyone's trying to take him onto the chest, and he's bulldozing guys. So, look, the defense right now is – certainly not played as well as the offense, which is a complete opposite from last year. But again, if you want one guy on your football team playing at an above average level, you want it to be the quarterback. He can, you know, Indy doesn't have a kick butt defense, but they keep winning 11 games every year. And it's not because of Robert Mathis, who didn't play last season, right? It's because of the quarterback. And, you know, he's not at that level yet, but he's trending in a positive direction. Saqib, thank you for the call. Where are we going to go? How about Craig down in St. John's County?
Why
up
not?
Next on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Craig.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, I liked what Blake Bortles did. He made some good decisions tonight. Luke Jokel really worried me. I mean, what do you guys think about that? He got pushed back a couple times, and it just, I mean, you know.
No, we do know. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about it right now, JP, but he has a couple plays like that so far in the preseason, just about every game, and it's a concern.
But like you just said a minute ago, he's the left tackle.
He's the left tackle.
That's what's going to be. But I mean, there's room for improvement.
Sure.
And it's going to be what it is. Whether they have to help him at some point with extra protection over there or something depends on the matchup, I think. If it's, you know, we saw him get beat tonight on the bull rush. I mean, he got knocked down. He's been working on that last week, was good against the power, talking to Doug Marrone and all that. But yeah, it's just a work in progress. It is what it is.
It'd be great if they could build that brick wall up there every time and just have Blake scan the field. But, again, do you see Blake going down very often? He's developing a very good sense of the pocket right now, and even when the pressure is there. So it's not an all-out jailbreak, and you're getting it from two or three spots. He is recognizing where the pressure is coming from. He's either rolling away or stepping up away from the pressure. And so far, you know, knock on wood, he's been able to handle it.
Knock on wood. That's another cliche.
Another one.
We're on like seven
for Micah
tonight, and only in two segments.
I'm full of them.
We'll come back. We'll come back in a moment. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, 22-17. The final score. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Reaction after the Jaguars fall in preseason week 3. Final score 22-17. The Lions from Detroit, the winner over the Jaguars tonight. Blake Bortles, 20 of 29, 245, a touchdown. Solid night for the Jaguars starting quarterback tonight. The run game, inconsistent night to be nice, and the defense tonight for the Jaguars, you know, hey, there's some work to be done there too. Run game, defense, kind of question marks tonight. One preseason week to go with plenty of reserves going next week on Thursday against the Washington Redskins. You might not see the starters much next week.
I would hope not.
I hope not either.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
I got this tweet in from at Mary Rigorous on Twitter. It says, can I ask for Bruce Irvin? There's been some speculation. Hey, Bruce Irvin's in the final year of his deal. There's already speculation he'd like to sign in Atlanta to follow Dan Quinn there. Should the Jaguars trade for Bruce Irvin? Well, A, are the Seattle Seahawks actually willing to give him up? They feel they're a Super Bowl contender. Do you give up pass rush on the eve of the season, even if he might not be there beyond this year? B, what are you willing to give up to get him?
What do you give up? That's right.
And C, is he willing to commit to signing a long-term contract extension here? Jags have the cap space to do it, but if I'm Bruce Irvin, I'm thinking, I'm going to hit the market, and the open market seems to be where you get the most money. So there are a lot of factors that make it unrealistic. Should they do it if they could get it, everything lined up for them? They could give a mid-round draft pick, and he'd be willing to sign an extension, and the Seahawks are able to trade him or willing to trade him? Certainly. Generally, that's not the case, right?
Is this team in a place to start giving up draft picks yet, either?
Well, I mean, if you were going to sign him to a long-term extension.
If you had all that guaranteed.
If Bruce Irvin was going to sign a four-year extension, why not give up a draft pick?
Right.
You're going to, you know, instead of drafting a guy, you got a guy who's already shown he can do it. I'm just saying, I'm not.
A lot of ifs,
I don't think it's realistic. That's what I'm trying to point out. There are a lot
ifs,
of moving parts
no
to
doubt.
Make something like that happen. But you can ask. You're certainly welcome to have. You can ask anything you like.
All I can say is no, I guess. Whatever.
Ivan in Mandarin, 355-NFL-1, the number. Ivan, you're up next on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Doing all right, guys. How are you?
Great. What's
great,
up?
Great, man.
All right. Just like most people, I had the Jags between, you know, 5 and 7 wins, you know. And after seeing Blake Bortles, I think worst-case scenario, we win the Super Bowl by 30 points. What do you guys think?
Wow.
I was thinking 40.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, If you're going to be a pessimist like that, sure.
Jeez, 30? That's 30. All you got?
Hey.
Undefeated?
I don't know if Ivan is just happy about the play of Blake, or he thinks we're taking his good play a little too far, you know, and making too much out of it. But I'm going to choose the former. I'm going to say he's very excited, and he really thinks the Jags will win the Super Bowl by at least 30.
Hey, why not?
I'd be fine with that.
I think we'd all be happy.
And we'll
with
go
that.
Sign Bruce Irvin in
you know,
free agency.
You know how fun that scoreboard show would be after the Super Bowl?
We would never go off the air. We would stay on until March. Kidding me? Let's go to Elliot on the South Side next up here on the Scoreboard Show tonight. Hi, Elliot.
Hey, guys. Good show. I promised Dempsey I wouldn't ask about Walter.
It's all right. Hey, have we covered it enough for you? Because
Look, I told you I was going in and out of stuff. It was rush hour going in and out of stuff. I missed Walter early on, but this was a game where if you're ever going to say, holy cow, how do you not keep that guy? This was that game. Anyway, a couple of questions about three players. I'm just going to ask questions and let you go ahead and run with it. One quick comment. Jokel, throughout this preseason, he's had a few really glaringly bad plays, but overall, if you go back and you watch it, you slow-mo it, he's played well. So, yeah, there are a few things there, but I think a lot of people need to chill on that. Plus the running game against this defense, that was going to be tough no matter who was in the game. But the three players, Cap Cappy, Sam Grant, and A.J. Can. Has he disappointed a little, or is he doing okay? And I'll get off and listen.
You're talking about Corey Grant?
Yeah. Sorry.
All
Corey
right.
Grant.
That's all right. And, you know, A.J. Can hasn't really done anything to stand out to me at this point. I don't think he's got a lot of tools. But
well, he was beat on that one play tonight. That's kind of
and they were saying, too, I think a holding call that on further review, the nose tackle may have fell down. It may have looked bad. But it's not like he's jumping off the page. I'm not saying he's playing poorly. He's a rookie. He's adjusting to the league.
Still a strong, stout guy, but a rookie guard. And I'm gonna say this, and this is probably – you know, there's a lot of teams around the league. You don't want rookie guards playing a lot of times. Most times, especially deeper rounds, Linder's the exception.
Sure.
He played well last year. But for the most part, if you're a rookie, or you just – that's look, it's not winning football.
It'd be one thing if he were – look, if you were outplaying Zane Beatles consistently – I mean, he has his moments, but if you're outplaying him consistently, he'd be in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
I don't think they're
sure. –
they want to win
games.
I mean,
games. They're not scared of – yeah, I'm not saying. But if it's – I mean, come on. If you got a veteran guy there who's playing better than him, he's going to be the guard.
Well, a lot of guys,
and he's the guard of the future. Now, he's going to be the guard at some point, left guard.
JP, we see top 10 picks at left and right tackle come in and play guard for you because they're not ready for their full potential. Here's a guy who got picked in the third round. Eventually, he'll be ready. Like you say, he's got all the physical tools.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about A.J. Can. Corey Grant really didn't see much out of him tonight. But I want to see more out of him next week because he certainly flashed in the return game, and we know he's got that speed. I don't know about Cap Cappy, you know? I mean, I think Andre Branch's injury, let's hope he's okay.
That could change some things.
But
yeah, you're right.
It could open up a spot for a defensive lineman. And, you know, we've been going through the math. They brought up tonight Michael Bennett on the broadcast,
yes.
Tony and Jeff. He hasn't stood out, but you know,
hasn't played bad either.
Right.
I mean, I'd take him over Cap Cappy, I'll tell you that.
I think the Jags would too, especially when you invest a draft pick in a guy. You saw something in that guy.
Let's get real. Cap Cappy had two sacks the first game.
Right.
Everybody's all Cap Cappy.
Sure.
That's not.
He's flashed a little bit of pressure against second and third teamers.
Which is great for him. But
understood.
In the reality of this team, he might be
out of his job right now is to make it to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right? And make it a Wednesday and then have one more stage to put on a show and try to say, hey, we got to find a way to keep this guy at least on the practice squad. That's his best bet realistically right now.
That's his reality right now.
All right. Let's get one more here, I think. Do we have Nathan? Nathan, let's get him up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Nathan. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good. What's up?
Great.
Hey, real quick. First, I just want to say thanks to Senderek Marks. He hooked me up with some tickets for the game, so I want to give a shout-out to him. He's a real cool dude. And then, you know, I'm really impressed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I'm from Detroit. But I really like this team. I love that head coach. I think Shad Khan is just a classy owner. I'm really impressed with the team. This is not the same Jags team from, like, two or three years ago. they have really made some improvements. Defensively, there's some issues, but they'll get it right. Gus is he's a defensive guy. They'll get it right. So I hope some of the fans here will embrace the team, continue to embrace the team like they're doing. I was disappointed in my Lions defense, the starting defense, because I don't know what happened tonight. Because I was shocked. But with all that being said, I'm really impressed with the Jags, and I hope they do well. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, good call. The run defense was there, as it always is for Detroit, no matter who's in the game. They, you know, as we said, they're the first best in run defense last year. But they were missing some pieces up front tonight. Hines was gone. Nada was not in the lineup tonight, but they still played well up front. But I'll tell you what, Rasheed Mathis didn't have the best of nights in his return here.
No, he did not. You wonder if he was a little bit thinking, you know, this might be the last time I ever set foot on this field, and maybe a little hyped up for it. I don't know. Just turned 35. That's not too many quarterbacks performing that well at that age, but he's been playing well the last couple of years.
My favorite part, I think, of the game tonight was the pass interference in the end zone on him, and Allen Hurns turning and barking at him.
Allen Hurns let him have it right there. Awesome. Ain't your house anymore, Rasheed. We love you, Rasheed, but go back to Detroit, all right? And we'll see you when you retire on that one-day contract.
That was awesome.
Love it. Pretty good.
That's awesome. Phone line, more calls, you
want
to break?
Yeah, whatever you want. We got 355-NFL-1. Yeah. Who do we have? I can't see on line one there. What do you got?
Chris from Midland, Texas.
All right, from Midland. All right. Chris, you're up on the Scoreboard Show. How are you?
Good evening, guys. How y'all doing?
Great. Man.
Not too bad. Good. Hey, Tyson Alualu playing fullback. Why don't we just get rid of Toby Gerhart and make him our bruiser?
Well, I mean, that might be in the plan at some point, but Gerhart, you're talking about Gerhart as a fullback, I think, is what he was asking about.
Tyson's
pretty darn good fullback,
being
right?
Very effective. Yeah. And that combination in short yardage was extremely effective for two games, to the point where you wonder if Toby is 100% healthy, if he doesn't get some of that short yardage work, even at the expense of TJ Yeldon, because he was that good at it the first couple of weeks. You know what? Toby's not a natural fullback. That's not it. Now Tyson's not a natural fullback either. But Tyson's usage is going in there and smashing people, and he's been pretty good at it.
Kind of what you want out of a fullback in short yardage, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's how that works. So, yeah, Toby Gerhart was out of the game tonight with a strained in his lower abdominal. You know, obviously, I'd be shocked if he played next week in the finale. But he'll have a role in his team. He'll be the short yardage probably back, and why not? Just let Tyson play some fullback, man. It was an idea that Gus thought about a little bit last year. We heard Tyson in the pregame show tonight talk about that. It was brought up towards the end of last season. They didn't implement it at all last year. So why not?
Who wants to take on Tyson Alualu with, you know, a three-step run at you? I don't.
No, I think I'm out on that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to pass.
Count us out.
Phone lines open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Final score 22-17. Lions over the Jags. More of your calls on the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, phone lines open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Lions win in preseason week 3, 22-17 over the Jaguars. How about the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good? Heard about Brandon Linder and the toe injury. It was said he was about to come back in the game. They said, no, forget about it. Andre Branch, MRI in the knee tomorrow, according to Gus Bradley in the interview postgame with Jeff Lagerman. Clay Harbor with an ankle twist.
That's what Gus said.
That's what Gus says.
He's got an ankle twist.
And Allen Hurns with some hip tightness that came out as a precaution tonight. He said in an interview with Rick Ballew that if it was a regular game, he'd probably stay in.
Yeah, and, you know, it was great to see Allen Robinson get back as quickly as he did.
Oh, yeah, that was a scary fall.
You don't know what he's doing with the way he lands on that arm. Did he pop the shoulder out, as the guy suggested on the broadcast, and then a couple plays later he's back in, and you know, in the preseason, JP, if they were concerned at all at that point, he's not going to get back on the field. So that was good. 355-NFL-1, the number. They're still calling.
Oh, yeah. They're happy tonight.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Let's go to John on the south side next up here on the postgame. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going? So I want to talk about the running game a little bit. I heard you say that you feel like T.J. Yeldon's going to start, if not first game, shortly after.
Yes.
But in my opinion, I think Robinson, he's got a burst that the other running backs don't have. His vision looks good. And I think if he doesn't get hurt, he should be our starter. And I don't think there's any question about it, because he's one of the few guys that might be able to take to the house. And you just don't know what Yeldon can do yet. So I was wondering why you think, you know, just because he's a second-round pick, they're going to start him if Robinson's producing.
Well, that's if Robinson's producing at that kind of clip, but they knew what they had in Denard Robinson when they spent the pick on T.J. Yeldon. And if they felt that way, that Denard is the guy, why would you spend that pick on T.J. Yeldon? Especially at that point, JP, this is a draft loaded with running backs this year.
Yeah, sure.
Not another running back got drafted between the Jaguars' second and third pick. They felt so strongly about Yeldon that they didn't want to risk. They didn't want to settle for Duke Johnson. They didn't want to settle for Amir Abdullah in their mind. These guys may turn out to be great pros. This was the guy. He's built like a feature back to them. He can take the pounding. They like the bigger running back. He's the guy, I'm telling you. I mean, I don't need to tell you. He is the guy.
Well, he's the guy. He's the guy. Yeah, that's the way it works. But the feeling right after the draft was that if Gurley and Gordon fell a little lower, they might make a play to move up and get
certainly
one of those guys.
Right.
But they're bigger guys. That's
but they
what
were
they
looking
want.
For
that's the kind of back they
a 15-carry-a-game
yes.
guy to wear down defenses that could do it all. You saw it tonight. You saw it when Denard got his first drive tonight. They get the ball down inside the five. Boom, he comes out off the field for Yeldon. That's what's going to happen this season. Now, Denard's got a role on this team, and he does have the long speed. But there are plenty of examples around the league of a number two back who's faster than the starter. But he doesn't give you everything that starter can do. It's not all about hitting the home run. You don't see many home run hits hit in the National Football League, that 60-yard rushing touchdown. It's very rare.
T.J. Yeldon has those moves to make a linebacker miss. And Denard doesn't quite have that natural running back move yet. You know,
I'm impressed with
developing,
Denard now.
Yes, he's developing very well as a running back. But
T.J. turns a 3-yard run into a 6-yard run.
Right.
That's what they feel he's capable of doing.
That's right.
You know, consistently. So, all right, where are we going? Let's go to Jerome next up here on the Scoreboard Show. They keep coming in. Hi, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Good.
Great.
I just got a question, or two maybe. Where do y'all think the pass rush is going to come from? Because I just don't know. I mean, last year you could see it in the preseason, how you could see the speed of the defense. This year it just seems like they lost a step up front. I'm not quite sure, or they're really missing Fowler that they really knew they needed. But do you think that if they would have had that pass rush, maybe some of those deep passes or deep plays, big plays, wouldn't have happened? And do you think McCray is a big part that McCray and Sipp is a reason why we didn't stop them? Or do you think that they would have scored them points if those two were on the field?
Good questions. Let's start with the pass rush. Remember, Derek Marks is still out.
That's Chris, the step that they're missing. That's the remember the first yeah. quarter of the first preseason game last year?
Mm-hmm.
He took Tampa Bay apart all by himself. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, this guy is going to have a breakout season, and he did.
Yeah.
And you saw it immediately. Where is it going to come from? I don't know. I honestly don't know where it's going to come from.
We talked about this on Thursday night with Jeff and Tony. He's a guy that makes other guys on that line better. He can and he can beat guys on his own for his own sacks,
it
too.
It takes two guys to handle him, which
right.
opens up one-on-ones for other guys. You got to win one-on-one battles.
With him out, don't underestimate how big of a loss that is for this Jaguars defensive line.
He's the best player
line,
on this football,
on the football team.
Absolutely.
Period. No
doubt. Last year.
Clemens was back tonight. How much are you going to get out of him on a week-to-week basis now? Who knows? You know, not sure. With Branch, how bad is that? It might have to get more out of Clemens now. That's a question. But they might have to bring more pressures, more blitzes. Like, Telvin Smith came out on a blitz tonight, almost got to the
and
quarterback.
And almost got there.
Yeah.
And forced an incompletion. And that's all it takes.
Not?
You don't have to sack him every time.
Right.
You got to come from different angles. You can't make it, you know, obvious and get into a pattern like that. But
you got to be able to get home on your defensive line by themselves sometimes, too.
That's what this defense is built on.
Yeah.
If you can't do it, though, you can't let quarterbacks just sit back there and pick you apart. So you're going to have to get a little creative on how you bring the pressure. So certainly, if they had gotten better pressure tonight, they probably wouldn't have scored as many points. You can always say that, though, right? If the Lions had gotten better pressure on Blake, the Jags wouldn't have had an easier time as converting 13 out of 16 third downs tonight. So, you know, and no doubt McCray and Cipriani, look, they're not full strength. Nobody's saying take this final result as gospel of what they're going to do. But
well, except the other caller that called a Super Bowl win by
that's
30.
True, and yeah. He was right.
Yeah,
that one person
that's
is
the
correct.
Only one.
Yes, Corey might be the last one tonight. Corey, you're on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to the previous caller about why Tyson Alualu was playing fullback. You know, every single snap Tyson has gotten as a fullback, he laid somebody out. Every single snap. He's a really great fullback, and he's, you know, he's not an every down fullback, but every time he gets a snap, he's laying somebody out. Yeldon made a mistake on his first goal line carry, and he had a little bit too much depth on that carry, and the defense reacted and got a tackle. But Tyson did his job because every single play he lays someone out. I just want to take your response off the air.
Good point. Physical guy, defensive lineman, knows how to hit people and on either side of the ball.
He's a fullback specialist. He's not a fullback. I mean, right, fullbacks do other things. But he is one, he's a battering ram. You're putting him back there.
At least we think he can't do other things. They haven't shown anything.
But I'd be surprised if you're going to swing him out in the flat and catch.
So would the defense. That's right.
Yes,
see?
They would.
Come on, Greg Olson.
And you know what? And when that happens, I will say, JP, you saw that.
You know what? Brad Meester didn't have hands either. He caught a pass once.
Out of how many games did he play? Most in franchise
he
history.
Caught
yes.
More passes
I've already
than
told
Tyson
you.
Right
I think
now.
Tyson scores a touchdown this year, but that's more of what he. I think he's going straight ahead at the snap, whether the ball's going to the tailback or not, whether it's going to the fullback or not. He is not going to get fancy when he's out there.
And part of the second play mistake, and I think Yeldon said it after the game, was leaving his feet. Leaping in the air, he caught those linebackers midair.
You got no power when you leave your feet.
There you go.
And he found out in a hurry.
He took the brunt of that force, no doubt about that. We'll take our final timeout, come back, and wrap it up. The Scoreboard Show rolls along. Final score, 22-17. The Lions a winner in preseason week 3. This is Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. It's past the bewitching hour. The Jaguars fall in preseason week 3, 22-17. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey.
I wish you had brought up a couple things tonight.
Like what?
How well Blake played,
okay.
The lack of pass rush,
yeah.
And Brian Walters.
What about Joker?
Wish you had mentioned those things.
I forgot Joker.
I don't know. What about him?
I don't know. It's like, maybe we should do another hour and get to all those topics tonight.
Can we fast forward to September 13th, please?
No.
All right.
There's cuts to come
I asked
this
nicely.
Week. No, absolutely not.
All right, but I had to
There's
ask.
Important team business ahead, Mike.
I
don't jump
that.
Ahead. It's the National Football League.
Don't
it's a week-to-week
away,
business,
JP.
Okay?
Yes.
So in this week, it's cuts to 75.
It's fine.
And then it's the Washington Redskins on Thursday,
I'll
the
be
final
here.
Chance for guys to make the 53, and that's the week after that. But it's a week-to-week business, Mike.
Oh, there's no question.
I know you're new to the league and all, but
right.
I mean,
these guys get paid in the preseason? Ask these players if it's a week-to-week business.
Right,
it
yeah.
starts September 13th.
Yeah, exactly, that's true. So, yeah, there you have it. The Redskins will host the Jags Thursday night, FedEx Field, and not many starters will go.
Probably. In all seriousness, the Redskins' first-team offensive line got crushed by this Detroit
yes,
defensive line. So the Jags certainly held up better than that. But also, that may be a pretty good indicator because Washington's probably not even playing their best guys next week, like the Jags won't be. But yeah. I want to see these second-team guys get some pressure against what's been a pretty weak offensive line so far in the preseason.
And the rumor, the O-line up there hates RG3. That's the whole story now.
And now he does have a concussion. Now he's not cleared to play, which is probably the best thing for their chances if they want to win a preseason game.
Yeah.
That's what you have. I know the Jag coaches were not pleased when he went out last year. They felt that they had a better chance to rattle RG3. Whatever. Whatever we see in the preseason. In fact, it would tell you more about his status in Washington if he were healthy, if they did play him next week in the preseason.
That's very true.
They got another game this weekend still to go.
That's right.
Right.
So we can scout the Redskins this weekend.
Oh, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah,
that's how I'll spend my weekend.
I know you will. Yes.
I'll watch the replay a couple times as well.
DVR it. Why don't
no
you?
Doubt.
Well done, Michael. We'll talk to you Thursday. Oh, I'll
Sounds
talk to
good.
You before then. I'll see you.
I'll see you in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato on the phones, Joe Fortunato for everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. Jaguars at the Redskins Thursday night to wrap up the preseason. It's a 7:30 kick. We'll go on air at 4:30 with the Publix tailgate show and a 6:30 with countdown to kickoff. That's it for the Scoreboard Show. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Radio.